It's been like that ever since we come to youth choir practice this evening. Everything just going wrong. But I want to try to bring a message tonight with the help of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16. Leave this one on, brother.
Give me both of them.
Okay, give it. Proverbs chapter 16. Thank you, brother. Now, I'm going to bring you a message this evening. Been on my heart for a while. Wrong one. Where's Brian? Somebody stole my battery? See if you can find it over there, would you? The devil is in this place tonight. Pay no attention to this lady over here behind the curtain. Listen carefully. You don't see it nowhere? Did any of you kids steal my battery while you was up here? It looks like it's right here. Now I'm going to knock a knot on somebody's head. Whoever stole it. My, my, my. One of you fellas go over at the store and buy me one. Oh, he's going to get one. By the time he gets back, I'll be ready to move away from this one here. Okay, Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 8. Proverbs chapter 16, and look at verse 8. Now I'm going to bring you a brief message this evening. And it has to do with a word that's in this verse. And I thought it might encourage you tonight. It does me when I think about it, because I know that I'm nothing. Look at verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. In other words, it's better to have a little bit with God than a whole lot without God. And there's an old song that I'm going to name this message after. And the old song says, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it.
Thank you, brother.
And a lot of people don't realize this. They think that don't work. That come from a store. A lot of people don't realize that if God puts his hand in something that's little, it suddenly becomes a lot. If God puts his hand on something that is weak, it suddenly becomes strong. There is no way in the world I can do anything to change people's lives. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know how to meditate and get and have out of the body experiences and how to brainwash people and all that stuff. God has to help me if I'm to help you. And he does that so he can get the glory. Many times God uses little things to accomplish great things. And he gets the glory from it. And little things, whether they're good or bad, sometimes do a great deal of good and sometimes do a great deal of bad. Tonight we're going to talk about how that God uses little things to do great things. The Bible said there that better is a little with righteousness than a whole lot where it's not righteous. Or where the Lord is not around. There you go. That one's working. I thought. Okay, am I on now? Give me up. Now can you hear me? All right. That's a great lesson you just learned there. Just because something goes wrong does not mean to give up.
And I need to learn now, of course, you know, I'm pretty well got that in my head. My head's so hard, I don't up when you're supposed to give up. But you can take a great lesson that God can take just a little bitty effort and make something great come out of it. So I'm preaching to you this evening on the subject, little is much when God is in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to church. We thank you for the Bible that instructs us and enlightens us, is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. We pray, our Father, that you would lead us tonight to help us to know what to do and how to say and how to say what we say. God, I pray that you'd use this message to encourage somebody that's here. Lord, I pray that you'd illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, that we may declare the word of God. Touch us tonight, oh God, we ask, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to take a few things from the word of God tonight. Give me up just a hour on this, brother. And show you some little things in the Bible that God put his hand on and done great things. The first one is in Exodus chapter 4. And you're well familiar with this story, I'm sure. I won't ask you to turn to all of these scriptures. However, I would like for you to look in Exodus chapter number 4 and look at verse number 2. The first thing we see in the Bible is the rod of Moses. The rod of Moses in Exodus chapter 4. Look at verse number 2. Everybody see it? Exodus 4 and verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he, that's Moses, said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. That's the only man the Lord told to handle snakes. He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. So Moses' rod was a little thing till God got in it. And the verse that I read to you tonight, the thought for the message is, little is much when God is in that thing. Now, Moses, he's standing there one day, and the Lord said, Moses, I want you to serve me. And Moses, in the conversation between Moses and God, begins to carry on here. And the Lord said, Moses said, well, God, I'm nothing. What can I do? And the Lord said, what is that in your hand? And he just had his little shepherd's rod here in his hand. And Moses said, well, that's just nothing but a little old rod. It's a little old stick. There's thousands of sticks out here just exactly like it. You could take a Barlow knife and go out here in the woods somewhere and whittle you all one anywhere. You can just cut off a part of a little tree and whittle that thing down and let it dry out, and anybody could have a rod like Moses' rod. But there was one thing that set Moses' rod apart from all the other millions of rods in the world, and that was God got in Moses' rod. I'm telling you tonight, thank God, bless your soul tonight. That excites me to let me know that even though I may be little, and even though I may be unknown, even though I may be dumb and ignorant, that if I can avail myself to God, that God could get in me, God could use me, and God could use you, even though we may be little in the sight of this world and the Lord too. Little is much when God is in it. You know what the Lord done to that thing? He said, throw it down, Moses. Moses threw down that rod. Boy, it turned into a snake. Now that don't happen to every rod you throw down, just a rod that God touches. And Moses picked it up, and then Moses went over there to the water of Egypt, and he had a confrontation with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, who's the Lord? I ain't going to obey the Lord. Who you think? I ain't going to obey you, God. Get out of here, boy. And Moses said, all right, son. It's mean war. And Moses took that little old trusty rod down there to them waters. And there was the great waters of the river that come through Egypt. And Moses said, You don't believe there's a God? And Pharaoh said, no. And Moses said, watch this. He took that rod and stuck the tip of it down in that water. And when he did it, it was just like blood shot out of the end of that rod. And all of that water turned bloody, blended into a bloody mess and became red blood. And of course, God used that little rod in Moses' hand. It was a little rod, but God was in it. He parted the Red Sea with that jewel, buddy. I tell you what, that's a rod, son. And the Lord got out there and old Moses standing there, and there's the Red Sea in front of him. Back here on Pharaoh and his army. He looked over this way, there wasn't nothing but mountains. He looked over this way, there wasn't nothing but plains and valleys. And the children of Israel behind him saying, what are we going to do now, big boy? And Moses said, well, I ain't never experienced this before, but everybody just stand still and see the salvation of God. I tell you tonight, church, boy, there's something like a glory bolt goes through my soul when I think about it. We've faced days that we've never faced before, and we face trials and burdens that we've never faced before. The same God that took care of Pharaoh back there in Egypt can part the Red Sea and let us walk across. Son, old Moses said, just stand still. I don't even believe he knew what had happened. Unless the Holy Ghost whispered in his ear and said, stick it in the water, son, and leave the rest up to me. And boys, stuck that rod down in that water, and the Lord goes, and boy, big old water stands up on both sides. There's a dry little path down through there, and the children of Israel start walking through there. I imagine water was up as high as the steeple on this building on both sides of them. I mean, it's like going to SeaWorld down in Disneyland. In Florida, and you go in them great big aquarium, and you know those, and I mean, can you imagine walking through there and just a solid wall of water on both sides of you? The little kid said, look, mommy, a shark. Come on, son, let's go. We're getting away from Pharaoh. And boy, here they go across that water, and Pharaoh and his army comes in, and God says, I'm about tired of blowing that wind up there and letting that way. Comes down and drowns them and kills every one of them. Don't believe it the way they put it on TV with Yul Brynner. They couldn't do nothing right for life depended on it. They got Pharaoh back here in the castle, you know, in the palace, weeping over his dead son. Pharaoh was drowned in the waters according to the book of Psalms. TV couldn't get a Bible story right if their life depended on it. But anyway, this rod was a little thing. And then they got over yonder in the desert. And the people didn't have no water to drink. And you know the story of how Moses took that little rod, just that little rod, and he went over there and boiled. Bow, and hit that rock, and when he hit the rock, waters gushed out. God once again used that little rod. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm just a little a Sunday school teacher, and I just got a little bitty class of little kids up there, and sometimes it just don't seem like I'm accomplishing nothing. Little is much when God gets in it. I tell you what all you Sunday school teachers ought to do, stay on your face before God till God Almighty gets in that little class. Stay on your knees before Holy God, till God touches that bus route. Stay on your face. I've been visiting. I believe in all that stuff. You know how I believe. But I believe most important is to pray and get God to touch them young'uns and let the Holy Ghost move on that bus route. Little is much when God gets in it. Well, I think this little old boy who always used to go to the Billy Sunday crusade years and years ago. And every time Billy Sunday'd have a crusade, this little boy, and he was kinda not completely normal. And this little old boy, he'd go up, he'd hang around the last person left so he could shake hands with Billy Sunday's choir leader. And oh, he thought that was such a great thrill. And he'd stand there beside that man till everybody got gone and shake his hand. The little boy was a little bit slow, maybe a little handicapped. And everybody thought he wasn't much. But you know what? He kept doing that and kept doing that until one day a nice man came to the revival meeting and he met that fella there and he said, little Joey, that was his name. He said, little Joey keeps coming to these services and he keeps coming to these services and he keeps coming. And he said, you know, he works hard to get his chores done every day so that he can be sure and be at these services. And through him, my wife and my five children have accepted Christ and be saved. He said tonight his infidel grandfather, who was over 70 years old, and grandmother came to the services and they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He said they're all saved. The whole family's saved now because little Joey stayed faithful and wanted to shake hands. I'm telling you tonight, folks, don't go in so much for this Hollywood evangelism. I mean, God's not interested in bright lights and putting on TV programs or big fancy radio stations and all that. All that can be good, but God's not a talent scout. God's looking for little people who are willing to be a nobody and who will make themselves available and say, God, I'm not much, but here's what I have. If you can use it, use it. And little comes much when God gets in it. I tell you, brother, that was a little rod. Secondly, I want you to notice the stones of David. I want to ask you to turn to this. You all know the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Was a great battle going on. Yep, just a high. There's something there in my throat a little bit. He said in 1 Samuel 17, there was a great battle going on. All God's people was on one side. All the Philistines was on the other side. The Philistines had their champion, Goliath, who come out every day and fought the children of God. And he dared one of them to come out. This old boy was about 10 feet tall. Nobody could handle him. And David, a little young man, just a little boy, mind you, a little boy, no doubt a little a brown teenage boy, went out there and he told King Saul, he said, let me at him. Let me at him. I'm tired of him running his mouth about God's people like that. Let me go out there. I'll do him just like I did that bear and that lion. You know what they done? They said, all right, David, if nothing else will do you. So they went over here and they put a big old helmet on him and gave him a big old sword and he went down to the ground like this and loaded down all that junk on him. And little old David said, I can't fight with all this stuff. They said, now listen, if you're going to be a soldier, we're men of war. We know what it takes to be in this army. You've got to have a degree, and you've got to have your diploma, and you've got to have this training and that training. You've got to learn how to cross your legs, boy, and you've got to learn how to pronounce your syllables correctly, and you've got to learn how to speak some Greek every now and then to make people think you're smart, and you've got to be able to do this, and you've got to be able to motivate and do your hands like this, you know, when you're speaking. And David said, I don't know nothing about that junk, but I'll tell you one thing, I got to prove method that'll work, and if you guys will leave me alone, I'll knock his block off. And they said, all right, if nothing else will do you, go at it. And old David went down there to the river while their eyes got about that big around, and he started picking up rocks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little rocks. And he didn't pick up 5 because he's afraid he'd miss. That giant had 4 brothers, and he's getting one for each one of them birds while he was at it. And David got them rocks and stuck them in his pocket and went down there. And he said, Lord, would you anoint this little rock in my sling? And the Lord said, I'll just do that, son. For it not by might nor by power, it's not by armor nor by sword. The battle is the Lord's, little as much. If I get in it, and God the Holy Ghost got in that little rock. And boy, David began to round that thing back like a weed eater. Brrr, his arms going around there. He let go of that rock, brother, and the Holy Ghost in that rock. He went this way, he went that way. That thing couldn't have missed. If Goliath had been running back and forth, it would have nailed him anyway, because God got in that little rock. And I tell you, there was 3 things. There was a cause. Israel conditioned. There was a call from the Lord. There was a cure. The Holy Ghost got in that rock. And you know what? That little rock that God got in. Before God got in, it's just like 5,000 other rocks laying over in the creek. You know, that's just the way God does people. You take those kids out there at that high school, you look at them, they're just a mob. Till God gets in one of them. What makes it different? God gets in them. If our generation of Christians would ever get that through their head, that God is the one that does it. People think nowadays, oh, if we can get this famous preacher, this great singing group, this, that, and the other. No, brother, if God don't do it, it ain't no count. One kind word may save a person from suicide. One sermon can fire a soul and change a person's life. And change a person's future. One act of kindness God could use to reach many. There may be somebody here, you think, well, what I do ain't much. But little is much when God. You people that just sit up here sometimes and just say amen once in a while, you ought to pray and get in the woods somewhere and pray that the Holy Ghost will use you, and your amens will come out with such a sweet anointing on them, seasoned with the Holy Ghost, that when you say it, it'll just bless everybody that hears it. That's right. I've been to church. I remember when I first got saved, and I got in some old camp meetings, and I got in some good cities. There were people in that church service that never even knew I was there. I got a greater blessing just from watching them than I did the preaching sometimes. I get to see some old man of God that loved the Lord over there. He'd wave his Bible, and he'd say, "Hey, preacher, that's right. Glory to God." And boy, I'd sit there and I'd think, my soul, there's a saint. And boy, it'd rub off on me, and that man didn't even realize what he was doing. That he was encouraging a young Christian to stand for God and sell out to Jesus. You grown up that sing in this choir, Lord help, don't ever get up here and just sing, don't ever get up here and just say, once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. Save my weary soul, you have. But Jesus came to me and by. Don't ever do that. I mean, right back and say, once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me and by His grace. Now it's different. I mean, whoa, here, this old songbook over there. I mean, turn a flip, shout, let people know that you ain't much, but God's in you. That's what the world can't figure out. That little is much when God is in it. Thirdly tonight, over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a little old widow. Her husband had died. And in chapter 17, 8:16, you know, I turned there. There was a little preacher come by one day. His name was Elijah. Listen carefully. That widow had just enough food, a little oil, and a little flour. And she's going to make them up a little cake there, some biscuits. And they're going to have a little something to drink with it. And her and her little boy was going to sit down to starve to death. God's man come along. This is something our generation don't even know about. Did you know that God, I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher. You ought to be ashamed if you think that. God has a special blessings for people that'll help preachers out. He does. You know why so many people are miserable nowadays? All they do is cuss preachers. That's right. That book still says, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. It still says that where that old bald-headed preacher come out and a bunch of little kids is making fun of him and he turn around and curse them in the name of the Lord and two she-bears come out of the wood and eat 42 of them and swallowed them. That book still teaches that it's right to honor God's man. I don't care what this generation says that's full of devils and full of rebellion and a bunch of old hussies wanting to run the church. God's word still honors those that honor His man. You know what? Elijah come over there and he said, ma'am, how about fixing me something to eat? And that blessed old sister didn't have enough but to fix her and her little boy a little biscuit. And you know what? Before she'd even give it to her own boy, she said, preacher, all I got's here a little oil. Little. That's the word I want you to get tonight. Little! It ain't much! But God got in that barrel. She said, I'm going to give this to you. We'd starve to death after one more meal anyway. I want to have a clean heart when I stand before the Lord. I'm going to give it to the preacher. And she fixed that thing. I don't know how Elijah ate that with a clear conscience. I reckon the Lord just gave him the go-ahead, told him it was all right. Man, wouldn't you feel like a dog eating? Here's a little boy starving to death, his mother, and You sitting there eating jelly and biscuits? But you know what? I guess the Lord told him it was all right. And the Lord got in that barrel. And he said, now fix your thumb. She said, there ain't no more. He said, you better look again, sister. Something moved through here a minute ago before you got them out of the oven. And mother, she went over and looked in that barrel and she said, well, I'll be. I must not have seen that a while ago. But I got my spectacles on and went over here and got a good look. And she said, Lord in mercy, son, there's some more in there. She dipped it out and made them a big cake. And they lived off that barrel for no telling how long. I'm trying to get you to see tonight, if you take what little you've got and give it to God, He can go a lot with a little. But God's got to be in it. God's got to be in it. That widow's mite. I heard of a missionary who was on board a ship. And late one night, somebody cried out, man overboard. And you know what that old boy done? He thought, well, there's nothing I can do. But he said, I got to be concerned. And he jumped up and put his lantern up to the little window. And he looked out like this and didn't see a thing. He stayed there for a few minutes, couldn't see nothing. And finally it got quiet out there and he said, well, I might as well go back to bed. There's nothing I can do. The next day he found out, they come and told him that they was out there and that fellow was about to go down and drown. And some stuck a lantern up in one of the windows. And that light from that lantern shined out there in the water and they spotted that fella. And him getting up and just putting his lantern at the window that night made a little light go out there and they saved that boy. You do a lot of little things that God uses and you don't even know you've done nothing. That's why I continually stress to you, be faithful in little things. In little things. I've told you before, I was up at a clothing store up here in town one day. It's been a long time ago. I still to this day don't know who said it. I was told that one of the employees, I like to scare her to death. And I was doing something in the clothing store and I have no idea what I was doing. I don't even remember doing it. But for some reason or another, I stopped and started praying. And I'm, you know, probably waiting on my wife or something like that, you know. That's a good thing to have to pray up. Keep a good heart about. I was down there and I just said something like, Lord, help me and everything. And I didn't even know it, but there's one employee looking at me. And it scared the fooey out of her. And she said, she was standing there and she was living for the devil. And she said, uh-oh, God showed him I'm going to die. And he's down there praying for me. That's what she thought. She really thought that the Lord had revealed it to me that she's going to hell pretty soon. And buddy, it scared her. I don't remember doing that. I have no idea who it was. I remember one time I preached on the street, up on Main Street. And there wasn't hardly nobody out on the street. And I just hauled off and preached my head off. And boy, I began to scream and holler and preach for a little while. A few months later, I was in church. There's a girl come over to me, shook my hand. She said, I just want to tell you something. She said, not long ago, she says, I was messed up and I was about to end my rope. And she said, I was just about ready to quit church. She went to another church up in Old Fort. She said, I was about ready to throw in the towel. I was about ready to quit. I was about ready to hang it. She said, I come out of Belk's and I looked over and saw you preaching. And she said, when that happened, God spoke to my heart and said, look it over there. There's somebody standing for me and I don't think you can. And she said, right then, I said, God, I'm going to keep on living for you. I said, whoa, glory to God, brother. Hallelujah. I mean, a lot of preachers think, well, we're too dignified. I hope don't do no good. You done waited too long to tell me that, honey. Don't you give me that junk. You just, when somebody talks like that, they're about half retarded, man. They just don't know what they're talking about. They're out of their mind, brother. Little as much when God's in it. Old brother Ted said there, who gave a wonderful testimony the other night, told how that before he got saved, he used to go to the trade lot, and there'd be somebody up down there screaming and hollering off the back end of a truck somewhere, and the Holy Ghost used it to get a hold of him. Little as much, if God's in it. And
And I want to encourage every one of you, whatever you can do for God, pray till the Holy Ghost touches that thing. And buddy, there's no telling what God might do with you. Number four, the little maid who told Naaman. Different. In 2 Kings chapter 5, I want you to notice about verse 1. Let's go ahead and read it and take a minute here and read it. Naaman, captain of the host, that's 2 Kings 5, of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a what? Little. What's that? Little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She was Naaman's wife's maid. Ain't that something? And guess what she done? And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And they went in and told Naaman about it and so on and so forth, and Naaman got healed. But Naaman got healed because that little girl had enough of God in her to speak up to a bunch of heathen and tell them there was an answer for his problems. Now, it's just like some of you ladies working in some of these plants and factories, whether you work at Travenol or whether you work up here, maybe one of the offices, or maybe in a shopping center, Sky City or Rose or somewhere, and maybe sometimes you have a boss man, and you know that boss man has leprosy, sin, and God gets in you, and you say, "Boy, I've got to tell him." And you say, "Boss man, I would God go over and hear my preacher preach. I would God you'd go over and hear that other preacher over yonder preach. For God could recover you of your sins. God could help you." And the Lord got in that little woman, and brother, she became great in the eyes of the Lord, and it encourages me. God used her because she was available and willing. Some of you ladies in here and men, you're in a position every single week for God to do a great work with you if you'll just pray and let Him in your life. Let me tell you a story about this witnessing business. In 1858, there was a man in somewhere up north named Mr. Kimball. 1858, named Mr. Kimball. He witnessed to a little shoe clerk by the name of Dwight Moody. A shoe clerk. That young man got saved and became the great evangelist D.L. Moody. God used D.L. Moody. They said he grabbed a hold of England with one hand and America with the other hand and shook two continents for the glory of God. Because a man witnessed to him. In 1879, D.L. Moody's preaching over in Europe got a hold of a young man by the name of F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer got right with God and preached, come back to America and preached, and J. Wilbur Chapman got in. J. Wilbur Chapman became a great preacher, and he began to preach and used a young man that had just been saved in one of his testimony meetings by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday started preaching. God put his hand on him like a ball of fire across this land, setting up tabernacles. And Billy Sunday went down to Charlotte, North Carolina, and preached a meeting. And a bunch of people got stirred up. And after Billy Sunday got gone, they called another preacher. "Let's keep this thing going." And that preacher's name was Mordecai Ham. And Mordecai Ham preached a meeting. And a tall young fellow went down the altar one night and got saved in that meeting, named Billy Graham. And Billy Graham has preached to more people than any preacher who's ever lived on the face of this earth. God, the rest is history. The millions and millions of people that have come to God, and you trace every bit of that back to an old boy back up north named Kimball, who witnessed to a shoe clerk. He wasn't much, he wasn't famous, but God got in him. There's no telling what God can do if we yield ourselves to Him. You know what? We limit God. We say, "Well, I'm nothing." Great, man, you qualify. That's just who God's looking for. Somebody that'll be a nobody and say, "I'm little." God can't use big shots. God God can't use people that are struck on themselves. God can't use people who think they're it. God wants somebody that'll say, I'm nothing, Lord, but if you can use me, here am I, send me. Number five, the widow's mite. In Mark chapter 12, let's look at it right quickly. Mark chapter number 12. There's an old saying that says, God don't look at how much you give. He looks at how much you keep. And there's a lot of truth in that. But in Mark chapter 12, we see a widow's mite. Notice how the Lord uses widows. Now, I believe the Lord has a special grace and place in His heart for widows. I believe He takes care of people, even people who have been deserted and divorced by their mate. God maybe sometimes sends a little special grace on them to comfort them and be with them. You better believe God does that. And here He uses another widow. In Mark chapter 12, notice verse number 42. Well, let's go ahead and look at verse number 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, that's taking up an offering, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. You see these rich people, they had a lot of rich people in the temple then, and these rich people come in and they'd say, all right, is everybody looking? Everybody looking? $500. It's really a five. I'm making $500 more dollars. Oh, it's got something hanging on it. And that's it. But the rich people just kept digging in there. That's the way they do it. You don't know the original Greek, you don't know those things. But listen, Bible said that there come a little widow. Next verse. Here she come. Didn't have no husband. Didn't have no income. She had a mite. You know what a mite was? 1/4 of a penny. It takes 4 mites to make 1 penny. Son, that's getting near the poverty level, brother. 4 mites to make a penny? You'd have to have 400 of them to make a dollar. And what did the Lord say about that? Then people thought, oh, that widow, we just have to take her up an offering every now and then. She's just a burden to our church. And the Lord said, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. The Lord said, these big rich dudes coming around here, it didn't hurt them to give what they give. They just want a tax write-off. It didn't bother them. They didn't give much. This sister gave everything she had. She has given more than they have. You know, that's a blessing to me, because sometimes you want to do a lot and you can't. But if a man or a woman will do what they can do, in God's sight, that's all He requires. And that little becomes much when God gets it. You say, well, Brother Danny, just one little mite? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, any of you widows here, something now. Let me tell you something, you that are having problems and don't have any money. And we take up a special offering, it just kills you, because you want to help out and things. And you say, I'd love to be able to have something, but I've got to buy my young'uns some food this week, and I'm just barely going to make ends meet. I'm going to put a little bit in, Lord. Let me tell you something. Everybody listen up here just a second. God don't count like we count. I heard a story of an orchestra where there was one fellow in this orchestra,
And he was called the one-note musician. And all he had in the whole orchestra was one note. And on the day when they was going to have a concert, he would get up, he would check out his violin. He would make sure that thing was shined. He would make sure that thing was okay. He would make sure that everything was right about it. He would make sure he'd just shine his shoes. He'd sit right up there and he'd sit right up there for about a half an hour while the leader, dun, 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 you know, horns blowing, violins going on both sides and everything. And finally it all get deathly quiet. And the leader would point to him and he would go, "Deep." And sat back down. And then the leader would go, "Turn it up," and they would finish out the orchestra. That's all he had.
That was it.
That boy took his position just as serious as any of them that played long tunes on the violin. And that's what y'all need to get through your heads, and we need to get through our heads. Listen, you know what we want to do these days? We want to be the leader. We want to be in the spotlight. We'll say, "Well, what's in it for me? How much attention am I going to get?" If everybody in this church would just say, "Well, Brother Danny, I don't have nothing to do but just unlock the doors on maybe Sunday morning. Brother Danny, all I do is just maybe help take up the offering." But that one little makes the orchestra, and that makes the church operate. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I just have one little seat to fill in the choir." Get in that seat. Fill that seat. Put your note in. Put your tithes in. And brother, little is much when God
in it. He goes home satisfied, knowing he's done what the Lord gave him to do. Bus worker, you remember this. I've heard people knock bus ministries because they're too lazy to get out and do it. I've heard them criticize. Let me ask you something, friend. How can a Christian criticize somebody for getting out winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ? You tell me what's wrong with a Christian that wants to criticize somebody for doing what they're supposed to be doing. Something wrong in Marion somewhere. Something rotten in MacDowell. But I want to tell you something this evening, brother. You people are sitting here tonight, you say, "Well, I don't know if it does any good, bro, out there and spend all that money on gas and tires and bring a little snotty nose youngins to church. I don't know if it does any good or not." Let me tell you something. Brother Jack, raise your hand over there. Brother Steve, raise your hand over here. See them two fellas right there? Who would think God could use something like that? Who would think it? About a year ago, them two boys, they still do. About a year ago, they were going out every year and a half, maybe, every Saturday knocking on doors. Every Saturday, they'd go to this one house, one trailer. Next Saturday, next Saturday, next Saturday, next Saturday. Man, y'all need to get you something put on your knuckles. Paddings or something. They get on that door every Saturday. See that lady right over yonder? Diane, raise your hand. She would answer the door. "You going to come tomorrow?" "No." Next Saturday, she come to the door. "Well, how about you coming tomorrow?" "No." How long did it go on like that? Long time. You say, "Well, good night. What good's it going to do? Them old boys go out there and knock on. That ain't much." Her and her husband were divorced. And are divorced. It's four precious kids. Three precious and one not so precious. I ain't going to say which one. But he'll be dead pretty soon if he don't know who he likes. Four precious kids. I knew the Lord would let me get that in here somehow or another. Sooner or later. That's what's fun about getting to be the preacher. Sooner or later you get to get everybody. You know what? Now, I think the damnable generation is this divorce. Lord, it's a curse! Little babies having to go to bed at night! Not ever knowing if mom and daddy live together again. There's no way in the world you know the pain or the agony that kids go through when mom and daddy gets a divorce. Make a long story short, little went out. And littler went out. And kept knocking on them doors. One day she comes to church, gets her life right with God. We're having her wedding this coming Saturday. Her and her husband getting married. Family's getting back together. Glory to God. Amen, brother. Hey, them little kids can go to bed now. Say, Mom and Daddy's in there in the room. They can go to bed now. Say, Mom and Daddy's back together. Daddy come home. Psychiatrists couldn't do that. Marriage counselors couldn't do that. Seminars couldn't do that. But just a little old knocking on the door. Every door to God. Knocking on this every Saturday. Little as much when God Almighty's in it. Glory to God, brother. That's a blessing. Brother, you think about how many of you hear from broken homes when you had to see mom and daddy. And now mom and daddy are getting back together. Of course, we're going to lose them in the process because he lives in Swannanoa. We all hate that. But I shout about it tonight. I'd rather be in Swannanoa together. Wouldn't you? Woo, boy! That's what it's all about. Little as much when God's in it. I'll guarantee you that in the sight of God and them kids, that bus ministry ain't insignificant. I'll guarantee it.
We got other couples here tonight that are together tonight because somebody went over to their house and talked with them and prayed with them. A little nervous girl stood up over in Wales a long time ago and stood up and gave this testimony, oh, how I do love Jesus. And it sparked off the great and famous Welsh revival because a young girl stood up with tears in her eyes because she loved the Lord. The last thing I want to say right quickly, the loaves and fishes that fed the 5,000. They said, there's a lad here that has 5 loaves and a few little fishes. Something happened to them little fishes that made them different than all the other little fishes. The Lord got in them things. And the Lord says, let's ask a blessing on the food. And everybody bowed their head and he said, now, Father, we thank you for this day and for this food. We pray you bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies in my name. Amen. And he looked up. He took his disciples. He said, now here's you some. Now here's you some. Now here's you some. Now you go and feed all these people. The disciple said, he knows what he's doing. I've learned to trust him. But now when that man says something, when he says jump, you say how high. He knows what he's doing. And the disciple here and said, here's some for you. Here's some for you. Here's some for you. Here's some for you. And every time they'd reach your hand back in there, there'd be more. Here's some for you. And they didn't start out with about that much. And they fed 5,000 people, took up about 10 baskets full of food. Leftover, doggy bags, son, for 5,000 people to go home. Took up maybe 7, 12, something like that. They'd done it 2 different times. Now that's what God can do with something little. Now that don't give you a chance to do, I don't give you an excuse not to do what you can do. That's just saying everybody do what they can do and little as much. You preachers, it won't be long till God will be calling some of you out into the work. You know what's going to happen? You know, we've got a pretty big church here for this area. And I have no doubt that there was more people in this church service last Sunday morning than has ever assembled in McDowell County ever last Sunday. History was made as far as anybody knows that I can talk to.
Young preachers, don't watch out. God will put you out here somewhere when you got about 15 people. And you'll think, well, I don't want to preach here. I deserve something big. But not. I want one with a parsonage and a big salary and hundreds of people flocking to hear me. Let me tell you something, friend. A man said one time, Father, where shall I work today? And my love flowed warm and free. Then he pointed me to a tiny spot and said, tend that for me. I answered quickly, oh no, not that. Why, no one would ever see, no matter how well my work was done in that little place for me. And the word he spoke, it was not stern. He answered tenderly, ah, little one, search that heart of thine. Art thou working for them or me? Nazareth was a little place, and so was Galilee. The big things of life show who we are. The little things of life show what we are. And there's a lot in the Bible I haven't mentioned tonight, but in closing I'll say, Shamgar had an ox goad, David a sling. Samson had a jawbone, Rahab had a string. Mary had some ointment, Moses had a rod. Dorcas had a needle, all were used of God. Now everybody in here ain't got the same thing. But everybody in here's got a little something in your life. You may have a talent that God's give you of just cheering people up and praying with people and being them. You ought to be out here visiting some of these sick. Sister Joanne, she's still in the hospital, Brother Joey? Sister Joanne Biddick's at home, been operated on this week. Sister Gail Hasley, just go over and pray with them and cheer them up. Some of you people got a talent for stuff like that, and you can do it. Just use that little bit. Somebody could take tracks and take them to the laundromat and the stores and put up little boxes, and about every 2 weeks go around and fill up all those boxes. That don't sound like much. It's a little thing, but if God gets in it, there's no telling what could. There's something little that everybody in here can do if you'll do it. You don't have to be in the spotlight as much when God's in it. Let's bow our heads. Now tonight, I want us to sing a verse of some old song tonight. And I wonder if you would just yield yourself to God. Has the Lord been dealing with you? Has He? Some are already coming to the altar tonight. God don't ask you to do what you can't do. He's not unreasonable. He asks you to do what you can do. He'll do what you can. Dear Lord, I thank you for these that are already coming. I pray now that you'd use the service. And Lord, I know that the devil tried to hinder us every way he could tonight, but I'm glad that you give us a victory. And you brought us through. And once again, you've allowed us to have a service in peace without people breaking in here, shooting guns, and hauling us off to jail or somewhere. Now, Lord, help us to take advantage of that and give you our very best tonight. I don't know what in the world you're dealing with people about tonight, Lord. I just obeyed you and tried to preach the message. Now, I pray it'll be between them and you now. Work in hearts, ever how you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Let's stand and sing. Many, many are already coming to the altar tonight. I don't know what God's dealt with you about, but if He has dealt with you, just come and let's pray about it tonight. Come on.
Go ahead.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Come on, come on.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter.
Amen, come on.
I am the clay.
That's right. Come on, come on, come on, come on, right now. Come on. Yes, come on, come on.
Yielded and
sinned. Remember, God's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. You say, well, Brother Danny, getting out, there's a lot of people here at this church. What can I do? You come and put your all on the altar. We'll give you something to do. We'll put work. We'll put you to work so much you'll dread to see us coming. If you really want to. Let's sing another verse. God's dealing with your heart.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Come on, come on.
Have thine own way.
That's right.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me.
Let God speak your heart tonight. These are still praying tonight. Music's playing softly. Glory to God. That's right. Get it right. Whatever you're praying about, we're not rushing you. You stay up here as long as you need to stay. Take your time now. We're not in any hurry. I've seen God move on some people, I believe, here tonight. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how this service just turned out tonight? I feel a sweet spirit here tonight. Hallelujah. Lord's going to work it out. While these are praying, folks, I want y'all to pray this week. I'll be honest with you. I know some of y'all probably think I've flipped my lid. If you'd have told me 6 months ago we was getting ready to start something else, I'd have thought you were crazy. I'd have told you to jump in the lake. This thing about this youth camp absolutely is driving me up a wall. It's on my mind almost 24 hours a day. I pray the Lord will get it off my mind. Something's going to give somewhere. Something's going to give. I can feel it in my bones. And I want y'all to help me pray. You say, well, Brother Danny, we can't do nothing. Yeah, that's exactly right. How well I know that. We can't do nothing. I've just got through telling you, little is much when God's in it. He can do whatever he wants to. If something bothers you like this thing's been on me, something's going to give somewhere. There's been little things happening in the last 2 weeks. If I told you, you probably wouldn't believe. And I've been seeking God's face day and night, in the middle of the night, praying. I dreamed about it last night. I'd had nightmares the night before last.
It may be that we can run a Christian youth camp and have people over working, putting on a whole program all week for groups all over this country. It may be. I'm serious when I say it. God hadn't give us a ministry with young people like this for nothing. He don't want us just to hold it right here in these four walls. He wants out. Okay, Kathy, you can stop right quick. Y'all be seated just a second while these are still praying. We're going to take just a minute before we go, and don't forget the people's going to have meet right here. And then I need to see you, Brother Roy, before you get gone. A couple of you up, Brother Dickey. A couple of others. We've got a lot to do this week, and we're praying. Maybe you too, Brother John. I like somebody's got something on your heart you want to say. If you do, maybe the Lord showed you something here tonight you want to start doing something. I don't know. Just stand up and tell it right now. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody?